Also, maybe one Nakuda of Lumdus and Halacha for the Seder night that happens to be on a Friday night, and some implications. And that's what we'll try to pull off for today. Okay? So, first of all, just one point about the Haggadah. So, I mentioned last year, if you recall, when we spoke about Shidduchim in the Beis Medrash, I mentioned a riddle at the beginning. I'll repeat the riddle because it was really about this point, not to talk about Shidduchim here, but to talk about the Seder. But I asked at the time, what's the difference between the Seder night and the rabbi's drasha in shul? And the answer is not that one of them has people drinking alcohol in the middle, because there's drinking at the Seder also. So the difference that I'm looking for here is the notion of kol hamarbe l'shaper hareza mishubach, that it's only in one context do we say such a thing, that the longer you talk, the better. That is normally not our klal. And in fact, the Gemara happens to be, of all places, in Pesachim. In the very beginning of Masechet Pesachim, the Gemara tells us that one should always search out the briefer way to communicate. So the notion of kol hamarbe l'shaper is a striking concept. So why is that an inyan here? Why is it when we talk about the geula, do we have this notion of kol hamarbe l'shaper? And I think perhaps the inyan might be that we're looking towards a future geula, and we need to prepare our mindset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to take us through everything. And sometimes we think, okay, you know, things have happened in the past, but it's not as bad as I have it now. It's not as challenging as the current situation. And so even when somebody wants to inspire and show that they've overcome difficulties, so our reaction sometimes is, yeah, but those difficulties, they're not like what we have now. What we have now is worse, or it's different, and therefore it's not relevant what you're talking about. So therefore, we're mayrich, so we go into all the details in order to help us appreciate that whatever it is that you think is so challenging, is so overwhelming, we should know that Kadosh Baruch Hu got us through that also. And in order for us to be zocha to a future redemption, the notion of Hakaras HaTov is so crucial. And we focus on Hakaras HaTov in order to allow us to be worthy of future redemption. And we have a concept of Pirsumei Nisa that applies in a number of contexts during the year, but one of the contexts is Pesach night. And Pesach night, you'd say, of course, everything is about our miraculous history, but there is Hanhaga, which we'll say a little bit more about maybe in a few minutes. We have an obligation to have four cups of wine, and the four cups of wine is a Takana Drabanan. And that is one of the mitzvahs of Pirsumei Nisa. So we have a number of mitzvahs throughout the year, which were all instituted by the rabbis in order to help be mefarsim miracles. So we have the Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim, and we have the Hadlakas Neros on Chanukah, and we have the notion of Dalakosos Pesach night, all there in order to convey a message of our miraculous history. And there is a yesod that applies to all of these mitzvos, which is derived from Dalakosos. And it's a surprising din, because these mitzvos are all mitzvos derabanan. Even Dalakosos here in the context of the Daraisa Yontif and Pesach is still a rabbinic component of the day. And nonetheless, we have a halacha that you have to go all out. Now the Rambam, for example, in Hilchos Chanukah says that you have to make sure you light Neiros Chanukah no matter what it takes. If you have to sell your clothes, you have to go begging, whatever it takes, you have to make sure you pull off this mitzvah. And Achronim will ask, but It's not normally the rule. Normally the rule is that if you can't afford to do a mitzvah, if it even takes more than a fifth of your money, we say that you are pater. So how come by these mitzvahs drabanan, do we say that we are obligated to make sure, no matter what it takes, that we fulfill these mitzvahs? So the Magid Mishnah explains the sources from Hilchos Pesach, that it's from the Dalei Kosos, the Mishnah in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, the beginning of 10th Parashat Pesachim, on Saritas Mubeis. The Mishnah says that afilu ani halakech min hatamchui lo yufchos lo mi Dalei Kosos shalayayim, that even if you're being supported by the soup kitchen, you still have to make sure you're not going to have fewer than 4 cups of wine. So apparently, this is a rule that applies to all Pirsumei Nisa mitzvahs, that's how they understand it, that you have to go above and beyond. You have to make sure to push in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But that doesn't answer the question, that just reframes the question. So our question was, why is it that this mitzvah, the Rabbanan, has such a high standard? So we're just reframing the question by saying, that's the rule by all of the Pirsumei Nisa mitzvahs, which are still the Rabbanan, but that's the rule anyway. So how do you explain that rule? So Rav Schechter often quotes from Soloveitchik that he thought that the idea was that a Pirsumei Nisa is really a type of tefillah. That we're saying that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have provided us with miracles in the past. You have been there for us. And we would like that that should continue. We would like to have more miracles. So if our whole point is that we want Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol to go out of his budget, that normally he runs the world al pidarach hateva, and we're asking for miracles, we're asking to go beyond that. So we're saying that you should push Ribono Shel Olam, you should go beyond Kaviyachol. So for us to say, so to make that point, we have allotted exactly 19.9%, it's not going to be a very compelling perspective. So if we're asking for above and beyond, you have to also be able to go above and beyond. And we go above and beyond to show the Hakaras HaTov, to show that we recognize that which has happened for us in the past. And the more we do that, so then the more we're deserving of more in the future. So the more we're able to make that a part of how we perceive the world, that we perceive the world that we've been treated very well in the past, and there's precedent, and there's potential, and that we believe that that can happen in the future, and that we're makir that, and that we recognize that, and that's a part of who we are, so that we could be hopeful that we could be zocha to nisim and neflos and yeshuas in the future. So this is a big part of what the Seder is really asking of us, and why we're hoping that we're able to express a lot. We're hoping to convey much of what we said. A part of what we convey at the Seder seems a little hollow, because when we begin Magid, so we say that Halach Ma'anya, the Chalav Asana, we talk about this poor bread, and we say, Kol Dich V'Yeseh V'Yechel. We say, anyone who's hungry, anyone who needs a meal, you're welcome at our Seder. So that's a very nice attitude, but it doesn't really seem to be true, because nobody can hear outside the room, and we've already started the Seder. So how sincere is that? That is a declaration. We're really inviting people at that point. You know that Daf Yomi is finishing Chulin tomorrow. So the Chulin, a few months ago, the Gemara talks about Gnevis Das. And one of the examples of Gnevis Das is when you try to take credit for your hospitality by inviting people who you know can't come. So now you know people can't come because they can't even hear you and your meal's already started. So how sincere of an invitation is that? Now it's a big maila. We also spent time this year talking about Kofen al Midah Stom and Avram Avinu and the opposite of Stom, and clearly Hachnasas Orchim is a huge yesod. But what about the apparent insincerity of making the invitation at this point in time and with this limited pearsum? So there could be another point that's being made here. Viruchim Olshin Shlita and the Sefer on Pesach is beautiful Svarim on the Mo'adim in general, So he has a discussion there about the whole concept that we have. We know the Gemara tells us that we're zoche to nisim when we have mesiras nefesh. So what's the mesiras nefesh that allowed us to merit being taken out of Egypt? Where do we find mesiras nefesh particularly? So we could be, as he notes, we talked about before Shabbos HaGadol, that we were willing to sacrifice the Karban Pesach, even though that was the god of the Egyptians, and that was a risky thing to do in their presence. Okay, that's maybe a shtickle mesiras nefesh. But he also suggests that there is a notion to go back to this yisod of Avraham Avinu on Menachas Orchim. So the Torah quotes from his brother that all the regalim are paired up with one of the avos, and that Pesach is connected to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the Omer HaChesed, and that Pesach is the time of Chesed. So the particular Chesed that he highlights in the name of the Tana de Belio, that when the Galus, when the Shibud was getting really bad, that the Jews realized that they're in for the long haul, and they have to take care of each other. That they have to make sure that whatever they have, they're going to share and they're going to provide for those around them. So they're not going to just think about themselves. They're going to think about how can whatever resource we have, how can that suffice for all the people around us. They say that that's the pshat. The Gemara says that when the times were good in Yerushalayim, so many people could be covered by one talis. How is one connect to the other? And the idea being that when people are worried about others, they're not just worried about themselves, so then a few resources, limited resources, can stretch. And you can make sure to, you can make sure that you're going to have a greater reach to whatever you have to provide. So that was the mentality the Jews had at that time, that the little bit that we have, we're going to share. And that was the mesiras nefesh that brought about Nisan. So if that's the case, when we are going through the miracles, when we are talking about the history of our geula, so we emphasize, how did we make it out? Because halach ma'anya dechalu avasana, this little bit of bread that they had, not necessarily talking about the matzah, but the little bit of sustenance that they had during the time of the Shibud, what was their mentality? Called dichvin yesev yechel. That whoever needs, we're going to share. We're not going to just think, how am I going to survive? But we're going to think, how are we going to make this work for all of us? So that approach was a very powerful approach. And because of that tzchus, then we are also earning a miraculous redemption through that tzchus. So we see here maybe two principles that we want to highlight in order to try to make sure that we're on track for continuous redemption. We need to be makir tov, and the Hakar Satov has to be as specific and as extensive as it can be. And we need also to be able to put ourselves out there for others and to be able to recognize that the more we can do, the more we are really helping ourselves in the long run, the more we are creating a structure and a schus that hopefully should continue to bring us forward. So just to mention a piece of lumdus a little bit that is relevant. The first part of it is relevant every Pesach night, every Seder night, but is relevant particularly this year when it's also a Friday night. So we have a question you can pose that when you bench during the Seder, so because it's Yontif, you have to say Alviyova. So what should happen if you forget to say Yalviyavo while benching during the Seder? What's the din? So the din is you have to repeat benching. Because the Gemara says that the standard is that if the meal itself is optional, then you don't have to repeat benching if you leave out the recognition of the occasion. So if it's, let's say, Chol HaMoed or it's Rosh Chodesh, so it's good to have a suda, but it's not absolutely obligatory. So if you forget to say Yalvi Yavo on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, we don't make you repeat the bench. But if it's Yontif, or if it's Shabbos, and we're talking about Ritzei, So then, if you leave those out, then you do have to repeat the benching. So the din is the Seder night. If you leave out Yalla V'Yovo, you'll have to bench again. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out in the first or second tshuva in the Sefer Tshuva Rabbi Kiva Eger that this is true for men and for women. That when it comes to normal Suda Siyantif, you can have a suffix whether women are chayavos, because it's possibly a mitzvah sasesha as man grama. But two times when it's clear that women do have an absolute chiyuv suda would be Shabbos. Chiyuv of shal shudas applies to men and to women. It's a machlok shishonim. Why? For different reasons, but it seems like having suda Shabbos is a obligation for men and for women. And Pesach night, because the mitzvah of matzah, which you could have thought is a mitzvah sasesha as man grama, but the Gemara says there's a hekesh between matzah and chametz called she'eshno b'bal tochel chametz, she'eshno b'achilas matzah. So whoever is subject to a prohibition of eating chametz is also chayiv to eat matzah. So women have a chiyuv suda during the Seder also. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, so if you forget the Yalla V'Yovo at the Seder, so then you're obligated to repeat men and women as an obligation for everybody. Okay, so some achronim raised the question, so let's say that happens. So you're benching a second time because you forgot Yalla V'Yovo. So when you bench again, do you need another kos for that benching? Oof, right, exactly. So what is the suffix? So the suffix could come from two different directions. Because one direction you could come from is, what is the nature of the chiyuv of dalet kosos? Now, the Brisker Rav in a Sefer on the Rambam has a discussion about this, to say it a little bit differently, but the general gist is that you could present the obligation from two different perspectives. One is you could say that there's a mitzvah of drinking. There's a mitzvah to drink a cup of wine in order to evoke chayrus and freedom. And we say four cups of wine because the Yerushalmi says this parallels the four lashonos of gula, v'otzeisi, v'itzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. So we should have four cups of wine. We should drink l'shem chayrus and drink four times because of the four lashonos of gula. Some of the Rishonim asked, maybe we could have had four pieces of meat. I think I would have preferred that. But nonetheless, we say wine. The Ramban explains that the four lashonos of gula are not just synonyms. They represent different stages. And therefore, the notion seems to be that wine elevates and transforms and takes you to a different stage. So, therefore, that's the nature of the obligation. So that's one possibility. It's a mitzvah to drink times four. Or, alternatively, you could say it's not about drinking at all. That there is an obligation regarding the four amiros that we have. We have four speech-oriented mitzvos, Pesach night. Those being Kiddush, Haggadah, benching, and Halal. And perhaps the nature of the Chiyuv is that these four things should all be done al hakos. All year round, we like to bench al hakos if we can. We do other things al hakos, but it's not crucial. But when it comes to Pesach night, we insist that benching be al hakos. This could be connected to what the Gemara has in Masechus Brachos about Havdalah. The Gemara says that when it came to Havdalah, so at one point it was in Tefillah, and then Chazal instituted we should make Havdalah Lakos, and then the Jews had a hard time affording it when they were not so financially stable, so it was hard to be able to afford so much wine, so the rabbi said, okay, you can keep Havdalah in Tefillah. And then the Gemara says, Chazru v'ashiru, when they went back to being well off, so then they reinstituted Havdalah Lakos. So it sounds from that Gemara like the idea of making a bracha al hakos is connected to the status of the financial well-being or the comfort level of the people. So if we're trying to show that we're like kings, Pesach night, so maybe this idea is emphasized that everything should be al hakos. So even if we're more lax about it, or more flexible about it during the rest of the year, but Pesach night we insist. So that's the question. Is there a mitzvah to drink four cups of wine? Or is there a notion of doing the brachos al hakos? So one could say, all right, so if you're doing the brachos al hakos, so then maybe if you have to repeat the benching, So then the same way you had to bench all HaKos the first time, maybe you have to bench all HaKos again. And if the notion was just to drink four cups of wine spread out throughout the Seder, okay, so then it wouldn't necessarily require you to have an extra one just because you're benching a second time. But if the idea is the benching should be a la cause, so then maybe indeed that should require another cup of wine. So the truth is, it could depend on that. This question could depend on what is the nature of dalet kosos. But there's another issue that could also affect this whole consideration. So, question, Shmuel?
No, I'm just trying to...
Trying to think what this would entail.
Sorry?
Trying to think what this would entail. Yeah, so if you want to say that this is the thing we're trying to figure out, there's another question to add to it. That are we correct in saying, well, since you have to bench again, so benching has to be a lakos, you'll have to bench a lakos another time. Is that necessarily true? The premise here seems to be that your benching the first time was no good. And that's why you got to bench again, so then you got to make sure to get the coast because you didn't get it the first time around. But is it possible to say that, no, maybe the benching was good? You still have to bench again in order to say Yalav Yavo, but the benching still was good. So this is actually a Machlokas Rishonim that appears in Tosfos in the fourth parak of Brachos in a different context. Hi.
Just a question. Are we assuming you already drank the cup?
Yeah.
Okay. If you didn't drink the cup, would it just be assumed you can make it again on the same cup?
Yeah, presumably.
Okay.
But let's assume you already drank the cup. So, and this issue is really a machlokas in the fourth parak of Brachos in a different context. Tosfos over there quotes the Rif. And the other Rishonim, Chachmei Provence, other Rishonim who get involved in this machlokas. The question is as follows. Let's say it's the afternoon of Rosh Chodesh. Either the second day Rosh Chodesh, or there's only one day Rosh Chodesh to begin with. And you're davening Mincha, and you forget to say Yalav Yavo. So normally the rule is, if you forget Yalav Yavo and Shmon Esrei on Rosh Chodesh, by Shachris to Mincha, so you have to repeat. So let's say here, you only remember when it comes time for Ma'ariv. So you left it out of Mincha, but you didn't notice until now it's Ma'ariv time. So if you had missed Mincha completely, we would tell you to daven Ma'ariv twice. Is that the case here? So should we say, all right, so since you have to repeat your Mincha, and you didn't do that, you didn't repeat your Mincha, so now you should daven Ma'ariv twice. Or should we say that no, that doesn't make sense? Because had you not daven Mincha at all, so fine, it would help to daven two Shmon Esreis at Ma'ariv. But you did daven Mincha, you just left out Yalav Yavo. And if you're going to say an extra Shmon Esrei now after Rosh Chodesh, you're still not going to say Yalav Yavo. There's no Rosh Chodesh for that tefillah. There's no Yalav Yavo for that tefillah. So what's the point in saying a second Shmon Esrei? It's going to be the exact same Shmon Esrei that you did say at Mincha. You're not going to fix it in any way. So some Rishonim say, what's the point in saying a second Shmon Esrei? You're not going to put in the Yalav Yavo that you missed. So the Achronim explain that the question is, what does it mean when we say that you should repeat a tefillah or a benching if you forgot the relevant Tazkara? What does that mean? Does that mean that your benching or your Shmon Esrei without Yalav Yavo is no good, and therefore it's ki'ilu, you didn't daven, and you have to daven again? Or should we say that, no, that doesn't make sense. This is the same Shmon Esrei that you say every other day. This is the same benching that you say every other day. And it's good on those days. So to say it all of a sudden is worthless because you left out a particular addition, that's hard to believe. So maybe the pshat is that, no, your first Shmon Esrei is good. It's just that it's so important to say Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh that if you forget to do that, so then you're going to have to say Shmon Esrei or bench again in order to have a framework in which to say Yalav Yavo. But it's not because the first time was nothing. The first time was good. It just needs to be repeated anyway so that you can fulfill the particular obligation of saying Yalav Yavo. So that was this machlokas, apparently, when it came to saying a second Shmoneh Esrei at Ma'ariv. Because the question is, should we say that when you missed the Alav Yavo at Mincha, it invalidated your Shmoneh Esrei completely? So it's the same thing as if you didn't say Shmoneh Esrei in the first place? Or should we say, no, it didn't invalidate your Shmoneh Esrei. The Shmoneh Esrei was fine. It's just that you'd have to repeat it to say Alav Yavo. And if you're not going to say Alav Yavo, because now it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore, so then there's nothing to gain by saying it a second time. So Reb Chaim in the stencils points out that this is relevant to benching also. He has a question there. If you forget Alav Yavo in benching, and now you want to bench a second time, should you do a mezumin again a second time? So do we say, no, you already accomplished the mezumin for the first one, and that was fine, it's just you're benching again to say Alav Yavo? Or do we say, no, it's as if the whole benching was no good, so even the mezumin you should do again? So this is relevant very much to our Seder night question. Because what if we say that, yes, you have to repeat benching, but not because the first benching was no good. You have to repeat benching because you need to get in the Alav Yavo. If that's true, so then you could say that even if the Dalakosos, the nature of the halacha was benching Ahakos, but you did bench Ahakos, and you still have to bench again in order to say Alav Yavo. So that could be. If you say otherwise, so then you could get yourself in further trouble, particularly this year. Because if you say that the benching without the Alav Yavo is nothing, so then here's a scenario that could happen this year. Imagine you're at the Seder and you forget to say Yitzei because you forget that it's Friday night. So then we make you bench again. And let's say we're Machmir and we make you drink another kos. And then you bench a second time and you remember to say Yitzei, but you forget to say Alav Yavo. So you have to bench a third time? So that should depend. If you say that if you're missing Ritzei or Alav Yavo, it's worthless, so then what it might say that, yeah, you have to keep going until you get them all in the same benching. But if the idea is that it's not that the benching is worthless, it's that you need to bench in order to be able to have a framework for Ritzei or Alav Yavo, so that maybe between those two, you have it. So the first time you said Alav Yavo, second time you said Ritzei, you made both references. There's no point in adding a third benching. Because if we're machmir on all these questions, so then what we're saying is you're going to keep repeating benching until you get them all in the right place, and you're going to do all the coasts each time, so you're going to get progressively drunker each time you try to do this again, and your chance of getting things straight is going to get harder and harder. So you can imagine what kind of a self-perpetuating mess you could get yourself into. So it's much safer for your sobriety and your sanity and for everything else to assume that you don't have to add a kos for another benching, and that it's not as if the benching was no good, it's just a chi of haskara to have a framework for that haskara. So if that's the conclusion, that would help. So I think it probably is the more likely conclusion, even though this is a big unresolved machlokas in general, with much, much literature about it as far as tefillah and other things are concerned. But maybe you could bring a raya or a svara from the following point. Because if you think about it, so if we say that the rule is you have to repeat benching only if the meal is obligatory, but not if the meal is voluntary, so what do you get from that, Yisod? So it sounds like the point is that because you have an absolute chiyuv to have a suda, let's say on Shabbos or on Yantiv, so then it's hard to say that that suda is l'chavad Shabbos or l'chavad Yantiv if you bench on the suda and you don't even mention Shabbos or Yantiv. So to leave Shabbos or Yantiv out of the benching is to say that the suda was not about Shabbos or Yantiv. It was a personal suda because you're hungry. So it makes sense to say that leaving out the Haskara is relevant to the obligatory nature of the meal, because the meal should only count L'chavad Shabbos Yontif if you acknowledge that it's about Shabbos Yontif. If you leave it out, then you're missing something. So if that's the case, so then really it would make more sense to say that you have to eat again. Because it sounds like once you benched without a ritzei, let's say on the Shabbos, so the benching was fine. It's the same kind of benching you make any other day of the week. But to say that it's a meal l'chavit Shabbos when you don't have a ritzei, that's where you have the problem. So then how should you fix that problem? It would seem like you should have to eat again, not that you should have to bench again. So if I recall correctly, Rav Schechter discusses this in one of his farm, where he notes that, yeah, that would make more sense, but Chazal were making on us that it was too difficult to have to set up an entire extra meal. So as leniency, they said repeating the benching is an option rather than having an extra meal to fix the omission. So with that, it sounds like the purpose of the extra benching is to fix the first, is to fix the meal, basically, to connect it to the purpose of Shabbos Yontif. In other words, to be able to say the Azkara of Ritzei Yal Yavo, but not because the benching itself was no good. So I just think maybe Misvara, that's a little bit of a support to that kind of a Hezber, which, again, leads us to a more makel approach here, that if one benched without a kos, if one benched without Yal Yavo and he has to repeat, then he doesn't necessarily have to have an extra kos. The kos worked the first time. He just needs to establish the alveolo, and we won't get ourselves in this endless loop of intoxicated omission and forgetting one or the other when we're trying to remember both Ritzei and alveolo, because even if one did switch off omitting things, then if he had it in each one, presumably that should also be effective. But one way or another, we should try to keep our wits about us and try to remain focused and try to be elevated rather than intoxicated, try to be inspired rather than inebriated, and we should be grateful rather than graceless, and we should be self-sacrificing rather than selfish, and we should take all the lessons of these few nekudos and hopefully bring them to our Seder experience. And through the merit of properly applying them, should we be able to say with accuracy and with full truth that L'shon HaBa v'Yerushalayim. Yes, sir.
Is it possible that we can maybe say if the Svara comes from a place of mentioning the night during the meal, that on the Seder, because it's such a unique meal in the sense that we're discussing the Inyan the entire time, that maybe...
It's hard to say this was not a suitable Chavir Yantif.
Right.
Right.
Even if you forget to mention it at that specific point.
Sounds good, I'll be svara, but I'll be dinner. We still have the schiyuv to what it says in Shulchan Aruch to repeat. But I hear what you're saying. You make a good case if you want to appeal. But nonetheless, I think this is the best that we can get you, that you have to still say Yal Yavo and repeat in order to say it. But maybe we have grounds to make all the other issues of needing an extra kos and getting them all at the same time. But in any event, we'll do our best to have our eyes open and our focus there and to feel such appreciation for Shabbos and for Yontif and for the confluence that they will all be present front and center when we express our Hakar Sato through the experience of benching. All right. I wish everyone a wonderful Yontif. Should be only great things.